So, Jackie, we've been just talking there about what are the key goals for a relationship health practitioner? What are the distinctive things that we have got in our head around what when we have a consultation with a parent or with a young person or with a colleague, what is that our goal as a relationship health practitioner that is possibly distinctive? And because we find we're often in discussions where it feels like we are bringing something quite different to the table, but we're still putting it into words quite what that is.
Yeah, so for me, when I meet with someone, I'm listening for the how they configure themselves in the world in relation to other and the narrative that they are regurgitating about themselves that's either helpful or unhelpful. So I'm really looking for and I'm also listening out for their willingness and readiness to make some changes, or whether they are just wanting to tell their story again without any real I imagine they haven't been met in the way that they wanted to be met. But ultimately, my main goal when I meet with a patient is to help them to become aware of the part they're playing in their current situation and help them to figure out a way forward that would be helpful for them. I don't do all the work.
Yeah, and I think that's when I was thinking how I sometimes think about it is that we're all on a journey towards greater maturity. You know, let's say life is a journey towards greater maturity, and sometimes we hit roadblocks where we get stuck. And but sometimes we don't even know that we're on that journey. We're thinking it's just ha you know, it's just we haven't thought about it really. It's just happening to us. So, like you say, then we have these stories about why things are the way they are and why they're never going to get, you know, they're never going to get better. And we don't even yet know that we're on a path, particularly. We're not particularly intentional about how we learn from everyday experiences. We just think they happen to us and it's annoying when that happened and so and so shouldn't have done this. Whereas once we move into being more intentional of actually, I want to be able to manage difficult situations with more confidence in spite of what's happened to me, then we're moving, you know, that's to me, there's a lot of parallels when between what effective parenting does and what effective the professional role does. In effective parenting, we don't do it for the child. We help them start to think about the fact that they are learning and are going to become an adult. Child who's preparing them to become an adult who can think about their own choices. And some people have had that experience when they're growing up as children, and some people haven't. So some of the people we work with as professionals haven't had the experience of being thought about as someone who's building their skills to be more confident as adults. You know, so we
Yes, yeah.
don't. So we're.
And there's something about what you said then about with a child when they do a lot of blame and it's what the other person done and what they didn't do, and that's often what comes out in the narrative when you meet with a patient. And to me, it's a bringing their attention back to what they did or what they didn't do and what they have the power to change, because we can't change our past, and some of us have a really sad, traumatic story to tell. However, what do you want to do about that now? What can you do to change and move forward,
And
using your own
claim your
intent?
own confidence and the opportunities that this life opportunity offers you, isn't it? It's, but I think then just like parents don't sometimes realize how key their own role is in the way they frame what's happening for the young person. Professionals sometimes don't realize how key their own role is in how they frame what's happening for someone who comes looking for help. Yeah, so if we kind of think our role is to sort of figure it out for the person and then tell them they're going to do this or this or this, we've kind of missed the point. Our goal is to engage, if we can, that person in wanting to learn for themselves.
And not to get lost in the story with them. The
Yeah,
story
yeah.
may be very interesting or really, upsetting or evoke lots of emotions in us, but we're not doing them a we're not we're doing a disservice if we get lost in the story
Yeah,
with them.
Yeah, we get lost and it was terrible what happened, and of course they're like this, and of course they're never going to change, because that really doesn't serve them, does
And
it?
there's a lot of trauma, and there's a, and I'm not saying there isn't, but then what? How do you support them to move out of that into a healthier way of being in the world, which is what I imagine that they've come for?
So there's an interesting idea around in terms of physical health called patient activation, in terms of, am I aware of the steps I need to take care of my own physical health? And we've been exploring the idea of relationship health activation, which is, am I aware of the steps I need to take to help my relationships with me and with other people be as healthy as they can? And I think we're, that's the term we've not been using, but it's a very useful idea, is that we can be really proactive about our own progress in our relationships, and they can move towards more health when we understand that there's something to be learned. If we just think it's all happening to us, we might not even think there's anything for us to do. We just want to find if people will feel sorry for us with us. But if we know there's something for us to do which can improve what happens in spite of what's happened, then we've been given our empowerment back, haven't we? We've got
Yeah, bringing our awareness about our moment-to-moment choices, how we choose or don't choose, but ultimately that's what we're doing, not other people. So the more that we can bring our attention back to ourselves, what we're telling ourselves, so if I'm telling myself that I'm no good or I won't be able to do it, then it'll probably come into fruition. If I tell myself I'm doing the best I can and the best is good enough, then I'll be more inclined to try.
And
So
more
it
inclined to keep going when it is tough,
yes,
rather than
absolutely. So
abandon.
it really is about bringing the attention back to themselves to figure out what it is they're doing to either sabotage themselves or to move forward. And what do they really want? Because actually, some people like to be in that self-pitying place. They like just telling the story, and if that's where they want to be, then that's fine.
So in solution-focused approaches, you do use that term of visitor, complainant, customer, and I think of captive. Captive, you're stuck in here, you have no idea. Visitor, you're coming along, but you're really not that bothered, and you're not very interested, and it's all about something else, something else. And a complainant, if you want to come and complain about what everybody else is not doing, and the customer, as a client, is someone who's saying, "I want to learn, and I know these are the places where I keep tripping over, and this is the skills I would like help to learn." That those are the ones. It's much easier to help a person have stronger physical health or better relationship health if they move into, "I really want to learn." The
Yes.
engagement of those others is challenging. It's much more whether it's a parent trying to help a young person who's very disengaged, or a professional who's trying to help a client who's very disengaged. That engaging people is more difficult. It's easier once they start to move and start to discover that they can dip their toe in the water and try something out and learn something from the experience, and something goes well and something doesn't, but they can keep going. That's the process of life, really, isn't it?
I guess I was thinking as well as you're talking is that some patients come back and they've got a history of engaging with the service that didn't work for them, engaging with the service that didn't work for them, and there was always something wrong with the service. But I tend to ask the question. So I hear what you're telling me, and it was an awful experience. For what are you looking for from me now? Because it really helps them to think. Because I can't guarantee that I won't give unwittingly the same experience, but I don't know what it is that they're wanting differently. And it's getting them to start doing the thinking instead of you doing the thinking for them.
And the thinking in the moment right now, isn't it? What do you
Yes,
want from this moment? Which
I just want to be heard. Okay, I can offer you that. And if that's all you want, then okay, that's what I can offer you. I can hear. And I'm sorry, and I feel sad when I hear what you've experienced. And then it's then what? Is that enough? Okay, what next? You feel heard? Okay, what would be helpful next? Instead of just because that story can be told and retold and retold, but it just doesn't help them to move forward if we stay with that narrative.
Going to stay stuck in that. I just want to be heard for a very long time, don't they?
Yeah.
Can be very, and not understand why things are not shifting. Yeah. There's another big topic, Jackie. I think we'll round it up because we need to. Sure, we could pick that one up again. All right.
Yes.
Thanks for calling. Thank you.